Good morning. Well, welcome and happy Easter. Well, thanks. Let's try, you know, Tom already did the He is Risen thing. Let's do the happy Easter, happy Easter to you. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Praise the Lord. It's good to have you with us. Welcome to Bayside. We're really glad that you've joined us. This is the day. It's kind of the big day, right? Yeah, Easter, where we remember, we celebrate, and we just focus on a risen Savior. So we're really glad that you joined us this morning. We're going to look at all different aspects of the resurrection of Jesus in multiple different ways. So we're glad that you're here. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Luke chapter 24. If you don't have a Bible, there's one sitting in the pew right in front of you. If you don't own a Bible, the one in the pew in front of you is yours to take home. Okay, we want you to have a Bible certainly today. So grab a Bible in the pew if you'd like. All the texts will be right up on this screen, or they'll also be in your sermon notes, which is right inside your bulletin. It's a little yellow sheet of paper inside there, so you can follow along anywhere that you'd like. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the final week of Jesus' life here on this earth. We looked at his triumphant entry into Jerusalem as the Passover lamb. And then we walked through those next 4 days. And on Friday, we had just a wonderful service remembering, reflecting upon his crucifixion. And so this last week has kind of taken us as well as a body to this place where we're at this morning, which is the resurrection. So in your pew Bibles, by the way, it's on page 884 if you did want to turn there. But let's read a bit from Luke 24 this morning. This is kind of where we're going to focus. Luke 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they as the ladies, they'll tell who they are in a minute, went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. Now, from last week, if you remember, the date of this day is Nisan 17 A.D. 33. Now, A.D., of course, is the Latin word. It's Anno Domini, which is Latin for the year of the Lord. And so our calendar system, even that we use today, is based upon the birth of Jesus. So 2012 AD is 2012 years after Christ himself was born. This is 33 years after Christ was born. Verse 2. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, just for a moment here, the tombs in those days are different than they were today. They had multiple ways that they would bury people. Sometimes they would just bury them in the ground. Sometimes they would have these caskets similar to ours, or like a catacomb. But then the wealthy people would have a tomb that was almost like an entire room. A tomb like a room, if you will. And Jesus' tomb was one of those, because his tomb was from a man named Joseph, who was from Arimathea, and he was a very wealthy man. And so what would happen is they'd have these tombs that were the size of a room, and they would roll a stone, and you can see the stone was rolled away. They would roll a massive stone right into this slot that fit right down and in, and it would kind of fall right into place. Now, it would take many big, strong guys to move this stone. Or maybe it would just take Pastor Tom. Because that guy can bring it. But it's going to take some guns to move this stone. And so when it says that the stone was rolled away, it's significant. Also, for Jesus' tomb, they put the Roman seal, which was wax, and it was a wax seal that they would seal the tomb with. And so if that seal was broken, you'd be in trouble with the entire Roman authorities. And then also at Jesus' tomb, they put a guard over it. So it's significant when it says the stone was rolled away. But it wasn't just like the tomb of Lazarus, where it was a small stone that was easily able to be moved. This is very different. Let's keep going. Verse 3, but when they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. Now, as far as we know, these are angels. Now I don't know if you've ever had a supernatural experience. I've talked to some people who said they have seen an angel. And if we took a poll this morning, have you ever seen an angel? There'd be people who are convinced that they have. And most people, in one way or another, have had something happen to them that they just can't explain. And that's what was going on for these ladies when they got to the tomb that day. Verse 5, and as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men, the angels, said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Now that's a curious question, because I think it would be obvious if you were going to look for Jesus, who you had seen die, It would be very natural to seek him in a tomb. Where else would you look? Let's open in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We thank you this morning that that tomb was empty, that the body of Jesus was not there when those ladies looked in. Father, I just ask this morning that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, be here with us in speaking. Lord, I ask that our hearts would be open to hear and to respond. I ask that you would be very active in among us, speaking your words to us this morning about the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that that resurrection gives us a hope. And I pray that this entire day, this morning, is just filled with the hope of the resurrection of your Son. We pray all of this in his name, Jesus. Amen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? What we're going to do this morning is actually go through portions of this text and ask three questions. Here's our first question. If you are new this morning, sometimes on our little sermon notes, we have some fill in the blanks. Here's your first fill in the blank if you'd like to do that. This is our first question. What am I seeking? What am I seeking? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Where am I looking for the good things in life? Where am I seeking after life? You know, I know for myself, oftentimes I will seek after life, true life, fulfilled life, in places that just can't bring it. I seek the living life among the dead. About 3 weeks ago, I had a dream, and I don't know if it's because spring. How many of you are excited that summer is coming? Can I get a raised hand if you're? Yeah, and I think I was a little bit excited. I used to play a lot of golf. Haven't done much golf at all in the last few years. Thankful for the kids. And so... It's okay. Praise the Lord. It's okay. But I think I was dreaming about golf, and this good friend of mine, Scotty, and I were going golfing. And we went into the clubhouse and we paid our fee and we get out to the first tee and we're getting ready. And all of a sudden I'm like, you know, where's my money clip? And my money clip, which has my credit cards and all my cash, $2 and my driver's license, it's got it all. And so I'm like, where's my money clip? And I look in my golf bag and my money clip isn't there. And I'm thinking, okay, I left it in the clubhouse. So I run into the clubhouse. Well, the clubhouse turned into an airport. It's a dream, okay? And so I'm running through the airport, literally just like frantic, looking for this money clip. And I see some old friends, Terry and Susan. I'm like, Terry and Susan. They're like, hey. I'm like, where are you going? Oh, we're going on vacation. I'm like, can you help me look? We got no time. See you later. And so I'm running through this airport, literally looking frantically for this money clip. And so I run down this one sort of a corridor, and then it turned into a college campus. You've had dreams. Don't laugh at me. And so now I'm at this college campus, running through this place, again, freaking out. There's college students, you know, doing their thing. And here I am just frantically looking for this money clip. And all of a sudden, I look up on the wall and I see this sign and it says, lost and found. Oh, and I got this, you know the pit when you lose something? And then you know that little bit of hope that wells up inside of you when you think you might realize where it is? That's what was going on. And so I go to this lost and found, and there's these two nice college students there. And I said, I lost my money clip. And they're like, can you describe the money clip? And I said, here's what it is. It's got my face on the driver's light. And they said, we got your money clip. It's right here. I found it. And I started crying. Literally, I'm just weeping for joy. And then these two college students started crying and weeping. It's a dream. And they started just weeping for joy. And I started to think about this dream, and I'm like, you know what? I was looking for the right thing, but I was looking in all the wrong places. Now that's what was going on with those ladies that morning. Those ladies were looking for the right thing. They were looking for Jesus, weren't they? But they were looking in the wrong place. Now don't we sometimes do that in life? Don't we sometimes search after true life in the wrong places? You know, I know for myself, many times I look for the fullness of love in earthly relationships. But then those earthly relationships let you down. Or I look for ultimate satisfaction in my job. Well, sometimes work doesn't give you the ultimate satisfaction. Or I look for peace anywhere I could find it. Or I look for joy in the stuff of this life, in possessions or in things or in buying the newest, whatever it may be. But that satisfaction is temporary. it kind of goes away. You know, these blessings of life are good, and they're blessings, and they give little boosts to our day, but they're not meant to be the ultimate satisfaction. They're not designed for it. Many times in life, we look for the living, we look for life in dead places. You know, true life only comes when we seek life from the one who is life. True life can only come when we seek life from the one who is life. When do I seek the living among the dead? Let me ask you again, what am I seeking? Let's keep reading in Luke 24. Let's read this next passage of Scripture. Luke 24, verse 6. He is not here, the angels say to the ladies. He has risen. Remember how he told you when he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day he would rise. These ladies saw him die. Could he really have risen? They remembered his words. You know, these ladies must remember, you know what? He did say that. He did talk about that. He said he was going to. Could he have really? Did it happen? Could it have really happened? Second question this morning. Second question we're going to ask is this. Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Really? Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Really? You know, this is the big question for followers of Jesus. Did Christ actually rise from the dead? Everything about our faith hinges on this one fact. If there is no resurrection of Jesus, there is no Christianity. If no resurrection of Christ, there's no Christianity. These two things are intimately tied together. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, if there's no resurrection, your faith is in vain. It's futile. It's useless. We are putting all of our eggs into this one basket, so to speak. So do we have proof of a resurrection? Is there proof? Absolutely there's proof. Let me give you a couple of things that prove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number one thing is they have never found a body. In 2,000 years, they have never discovered the body of Jesus, and they never will. If they had done that one thing, that would have disproven Christianity, and the whole thing would have gradually died out. All that needed to happen was the production of a body, and there has never been one. We also saw the instant radical change of his disciples. If you remember, right after Jesus died, all of his disciples ran into a room, they hid away, they were scared, they were cowards, and they didn't want to do anything. They just stood there. And then after the resurrected Christ comes back into their life, they instantly become passionate followers of his, boldly proclaiming it and becoming willing to become martyrs and killed for that faith that they were even too scared to say anything about. The radical transformation of disciples. We also have record that Jesus appeared before 500 different people after his resurrection. 500. And through those 500 different people, they saw the conversion of over 3,000 people to Christianity in one day. In one day. Of course, we saw the transformation of Saul of Tarsus, who went, again, in a day from a persecutor of the church to a proclaimer of Jesus Christ as risen. And then there's also proof all around us. If any one of us could come up and share their testimony, I will tell you, my testimony says there is proof of a risen Jesus. And there is proof in the lives of people who are being transformed because of the power of a risen Savior. And if your life has been and is being transformed by a risen Savior, can I please get an amen? Amen. There's proof of a resurrection. But the challenging part is this. Proof doesn't save anyone. As good as proof is, and as much as we can prove the resurrection of Jesus, proof doesn't save. Evidence is good, and proof is good, but the key is not proof, it's faith. The key to a changed life is not proof of a resurrection, it is faith in a resurrection. And if you're here this morning, and I don't know where you're at, but if you're struggling with a resurrected Jesus, then you just need to start seeing it through a different set of eyes. Seeing it not through the eyes of logic, but seeing it through the eyes of faith. Seeing it through the eyes of trust, of relying upon that resurrection to change you. And then that empty tomb will become incredibly powerful. Let's keep reading. Luke 24, this is our last passage we're going to read this morning. Luke 24, verses 9 to 11. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Wow, you mean to tell me there were eyewitnesses and they didn't believe those eyewitnesses? This is our third question this morning. Third question is this: the resurrection, is it an idle tale or is it truth? You know, those ladies, after they returned from the tomb, put yourself in their standpoint. They just saw angels. They just saw the empty tomb. They just saw all the things that they saw. They run back to the disciples who are supposed to be followers of Jesus. They tell them all this stuff and they don't believe them. You don't believe us? We saw the empty tomb. We heard from the angels. He's not here. He's risen. He told you before. And those ladies must have been thinking, why in the world don't they believe us? Well, you know, that's a good question. Why doesn't everybody believe? You know, what's my response? This is an individual question. What is my response to the empty tomb? What is my response to the resurrection? Do I think it's an idle tale? Do I think it's foolish? Do I think it's this old, contrived story in an old book that's just kind of foolish? And if you give your whole life for that, then you're a fool? What do I see? Or do I see a risen Savior when I look at the empty tomb? You know, I think all of us, if we're honest, we're all looking for some of the same things in life. If we could say, what do we want out of life? We'd say, I want love from a family. I want contentment in my daily life. I want some peace. I want some joy. I want a purpose for why I'm here. I want a reason for my existence. I want hope for the future. We all are looking for basically the same thing. All of us. We're all the same in that way. God designed us to want the same things. And the question is not, do we want that? The question is, where are we seeking for that? That's the question. Where do we think we can find those things in life? Where are we seeking? And are we seeking the living? Are we seeking life among things that just can't give it? So when you look in an empty tomb, what do you see? We're going to watch a dramatization this morning of two different responses to the cross. These are two people who responded to the cross of Jesus Christ very differently.
Well, it's over. At least it was quick. Sometimes the wretches last for days, cursing as they scream and moan. But we sped up the process. Tomorrow's one of their holy days. By the looks of this storm brewing, none too soon. Not that I'm afraid of death, or killing for that matter. It's a magnificent feeling, going out into the battlefield, comrades by your side, sword in your hand, conquering new territory for the glory of Rome! But this nailing up of a couple of Jewish malcontents, these men weren't soldiers. They died like slaves, calling on their God or cursing him. We Romans, we don't take our religion so seriously. But these people, they talk about loving their God and of him loving them. And he can't even save them from their enemies. Take this guy today. He calls himself some type of a king. All I can do is pity the deranged fool. I mean, like I always say, battling a worthy opponent is one thing. But crucifying some wandering preacher with delusions of royalty? What has Rome come to? The day wasn't a total loss. I won his tunic when we cast lots. It's the first bit of luck I've had in a long time. But nothing special or anything. It's not like it was a king's robe. Or was it? Jesus of Nazareth, they called him. I've never seen anybody lay down so willingly on the cross. He held out his hands for the nails like he was going to give us something. And for just a second, a flash, I questioned going through with it. I thought, this man is innocent. And what kind of a soldier kills a man who surrenders? And his compassion, he even asked his God to not be angry with us. Criminals don't forgive, they kill. Like we did today. I had to do it. I had to. I had orders. I was following orders. And a good soldier does what he is told. If it was a mistake, I'm sorry. If he was your Messiah, so be it. I was following orders. Maybe if it was more obvious, somebody who looked like a god or a king, maybe it would have been different. Maybe this didn't have to happen. I don't know. I was following orders. I had to do it. I had to.
I'll never forget that day when I saw the soldiers heading back to their barracks. I knew it was over. They wouldn't have left unless everybody was dead. What? Do you think I could have helped? Do you think Pilate would have released him if some crazed woman had thrown herself at his feet and begged for mercy? I don't have that kind of power, and you don't either. So I stayed in the shadows and I watched. All those trumped up charges and bribed witnesses, nobody came to his defense. They weren't interested in justice. They set him up and the whole thing played out just the way that they had intended. Believe me, I know about their justice. They set me up once too. I was lonely. My husband traveled, but even when he was home, we weren't close. This other man, he started noticing me. He was so nice and so tender. I had no idea that he was put up to it, that I was being used to trap Jesus. They dragged me out of the house in nothing but a bedsheet and throw me in the middle of a crowd that was surrounding Jesus. They were about to stone me. And Jesus stood there. He did the strangest thing. He reached into the dirt and he started writing. But they kept pestering him for an answer about what to do with me. I tried to focus on what he wrote. It was a message to me. And then our eyes met for just a second. You know, sometimes when men look at me, it's as if they want something. But Jesus' eyes didn't take anything. How could he have seen so deep into my soul without making me feel ashamed of what was hidden there? Then I heard Jesus ask for the man who was with me. They admitted they didn't bring him. And then they knew. They knew that he was onto them, but they only got madder. They started screaming about God's righteousness with red faces and bulging veins and spit flying out of their mouths. I looked at their face and I looked at his. And it struck me, here I am about to die and meet God. And which expression looks closest to his? Then I heard Jesus say, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And then Jesus bent down and he lowered himself into the ground and he stayed with me until every last one of those men walked away. When he stood up, I thought, now I'm going to get what I deserve. But he said to me, no one condemns you anymore and neither do I. He reached out his hand to me and he lifted me up. You know, he knew what I did. It wasn't like I was innocent. But he released me. He gave me a second chance. He lifted me out of the filth and the shame. I deserved death. Instead, he gave me life. If I could have done anything for him that day, I would have. But as long as I live, I'm going to be the new woman that he created me to be. And I know as sure as I stand here today, I will look into his eyes again. I saw the empty tomb. I don't have to wonder what the God of heaven will say to me, for I've seen his face, and I hold his promise. My wounds have been healed. I've traded my ashes for a crown of beauty. And I heard Jesus tell me, I don't condemn you. You're free. I know I'm free because my Redeemer lives. Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you could only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. Well, I know my Redeemer. This life within me cry, I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God who spins things in order, he runs to the weary, the gentle hands that held me when I was broken. They conquered death to bring me victory. Well, I know my Redeemer lives. Well, I know my Redeemer. Let this life within me cry, 'cause I know my Redeemer. He lives to take away my shame, and he gave
My Redeemer lives, amen? You know, that's the key question. Of all the questions that we've asked this morning, that's the key one. Does your Redeemer live? Does the thing that you are hoping will bring you life eternal, will it bring you life eternal? Does your Redeemer live? You know, we've all, and I'll be the first one to say, we have all made mistakes in life. We have all messed things up from time to time. And just like that soldier and that woman, we haven't done it all just right. But the key is not have we been perfect. The key is what are we doing with that? And we can respond just like either of those two people did. That soldier who sort of denied his guilt or even justified his way out of it. You know, I had to do it. I had to. God should have made it more clear. God should have made this whole thing more clear. Or else we can respond like the woman did. Guilty, but yet seeking Jesus for some hope. We can look to the cross as not an idle tale or foolishness. We can look to the cross as our only hope for forgiveness of sins. And we can look to that empty tomb, see that empty tomb, and say, that is my hope of eternal life. You know, that's the key question this morning that we all have to think about, wrestle with. Does my Redeemer, does he live? So my final time this morning, what are you seeking in life? If you're a seeker of God, if you're seeking after him, I want to invite you to join us next week, because there's a lot of us who are seeking after him, seeking after God, imperfect people, but who are searching for Jesus. Join us next week, same time, 9 o'clock or 10:30. The other thing that we have, we made up a CD, and these are going to be all over, sort of, as on your way out. You'll find some at the Welcome Center. You'll find some on the doorways going out. You'll find some at tables. You'll see these things all over. And this CD is called What's With This 316. And maybe this morning you've kind of been touched, or God has sort of stirred something up, and you're just wondering more about God or his story. Well, I want to encourage you. This is a very short little CD that can help to explain God and his story and his amazing love for you. So grab one of these on your way out. Again, what are you seeking? We're happy you joined us this morning. I want to be not the first, but not the last to say happy Easter to you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. We thank you that our Redeemer lives. Jesus, we thank you that the grave could not keep you down. Death could not hold you. And God, because of that resurrection of your Son, Jesus, we can have hope that we will be resurrected again one day. That we will be resurrected with you for eternity. And God, all of our hope resides in the fact that your Son, Jesus, on the third day, was resurrected, and we thank you for that. Be with us this morning. We praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.